You ready?
Yeah.
Sweetie?
Morning, guys.
He's not in a coma. They don't know what to call it. I went into Dalton's room. There was something in there with him. I know someone who can help.
We took Trifield and EMF readings of the whole house. Wiring, alarm clocks.
I don't think bad wiring is the problem here.
I want to leave. I want to leave this house. What is it?
It's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
Hams, I'm tired, man.
I had a busy weekend, so yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, well, shit, man, you always busy, so ain't nothing new. What else is fucking new?
I had my movie premiere Friday.
Yeah, I know, shit, and I still had to fucking work on one, so shit. Oh, man, then we had to watch all these movies and shit.
Not good movies either.
Yeah, man, I didn't even get a chance to go see John Wick. Shit, that's how busy I was.
Oh, yeah, that did come out this week, past weekend.
I actually missed a movie this week. Ain't that a bitch?
Goddamn.
Yeah, shit happens, though. I mean, for some reason, around this time, it just always gets busy.
Well, that was probably just going to get a rental, probably.
I've been hearing good things about it. I actually wanted to see it, man.
Ouija got box office draw.
Okay, that can go to hell. That is something I did have a chance to see, because I missed my screener for John Wick, because I had to go see, I saw two other movies that was coming out next year, and I was more interested to see those or whatever, and then I thought I'd have time to see John Wick over the weekend. I'm like, I'll just pay for it, I can see it over the weekend, but then some stuff came up, the next night I had to see Ouija and shit, I was like, nah, I'm not going to have time, and then I realized, oh yeah, Halloween's next week, so we got to knock out our specials and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, just don't have time, man.
Yeah. But, goddamn.
People, we are here for Throwback Tuesday, episode 72. I'm the phenomenal one of MovieSportsPodcast.com.
This is Z from the FanCritic.com.
And we're here to talk about a piece of shit known as Insidious. I hate this movie.
Oh, this is the second time I've seen it, and it's worse the second time around.
Oh, man, I remember, I listened to a review back when the Spill, yeah, co-host man, gave this a full price movie, said it was the scariest thing he's ever seen. My friends was telling me how scary this movie was. I remember I went to go see it with a date. We went in a midnight screening too, late. I was like, oh, this is so badass. It was on a Saturday as well. And I went and saw that and ended up walking out of there just shaking my head. I was like, who the, I need to get new friends.
This movie, I remember, because I remember them, the promotion for this movie, they said this is the scariest movie you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, that's what my friend said to them.
What's scary about this movie?
This movie was a joke, dude, come on.
How does this have 66% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Like, how is this different from any other, like, horror movie, though? I remember when, you remember that scene where Rose Byrne was sleeping and somebody passed by her window?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that was like, you just don't see horror scenes like that. I was like, you see that in every, what? Oh,
you see that God. In every movie. you see it in the latest,
in every movie.
You see it in this latest porno movie.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when that scene popped up, people in my theater were screaming loud. And it was like, that was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I was just like, how is that different from any other horror movie?
No, and they do the cheap scare tactics, too.
Thank you.
Books on the floor, doors shutting.
People that love this movie were saying that there was no cheap jump scares in this movie. It was all clever, and I was just like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Come on.
Yeah, did you, you've seen it in the theater, did you even jump, or were you just like, hand, like your hand on your head, or your head on your hand, just bored?
There was the beginning, I was bored. Then it was my head on the hand. And then, at like, the third act came around, I was laughing.
I know. And I feel sorry for Patrick Wilson, because I really do like him.
I do like him, too.
And this is... I don't know if he's going to be in Insidious 3, but this is the third movie he's been in that's like this.
Yeah, because he was in The Conjuring, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm with you, too. I don't know if he's going to be in Insidious 3. I'm assuming he might be. I saw the trailer for it when I went to go see Ouija. And I remember just, like you just said, putting my hand on my head. It's like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ, another one.
No, actually, he's not.
Okay, good. It looked like it was based around some kid when I saw the trailer, so...
Dermot Mulroney is taking the lead on that one.
Jesus fucking...
And goodness. I like Rose Byrne, too. I really do.
She's fine, and some things she does... I don't think she does anything where she stands out. I think she...
No, but she... She's got... I mean, in other work she's done, she's got some good personality and stuff. This one, she's just wooden and dull.
Problem with these family horror movies is that the usually the wife, even if it's a good actress or a decent actress, they usually just play this particular, you know,
same role. Mother. Same role.
Yeah, same role, which I don't get how this one is so damn different to people. It's like, oh, they're doing something different. It's like there's nothing different in here at all. But you know, it's even already jumping ahead, man. How about a plot synopsis?
Insidious, directed by James Wan, who directed Saw, right?
Yeah.
Create.
People need to get off James Wan's fucking dick, okay? He is not a great director.
No, I mean, Saw was a creative script, but...
Say a script, you can write that.
Oh, as a creative movie then.
Yeah.
But then it got... Then everything you see him doing, it's all the same shit. He did Annabelle, he did fucking Conjuring. He's doing the same shit over and over again.
And people loved his ass. Talking about, oh, James Wan, he's spreading out to action. Because I think he's doing the next Fast and Furious movie, right?
Yes, he is.
And I'm just like, this dude is not a good director at all. I don't know why people keep...
That's going to have jump scares.
Oh, yeah. Vin Diesel going to be walking past the rock in a window. So
Paul Walker's ghost is going to haunt the movie.
Paul Walker's ghost is going to haunt the replacement brother.
Starring Patrick Wilson, Rose Byrne, Barbara Hershey. Came out April 1st, 2011, which it is an April Fool's joke.
That's a good catch, right? I didn't know this came out on April 1st.
Budget $1.5 million, box office $97 million. And
it cost them $1 million?
$1.5. Yeah. Well, you've seen it. Is there anything high tech in this movie?
No, not really. But fuck, man, that's cheap as shit.
I could probably make this movie for $1,005.
Yeah, and the most expensive stuff you spend on it is getting those hoofs for that Darth Maul demon.
I was gonna bring that up too.
Found that scary, dude. I was like, come on now. This dude look like a joke. Come on.
It's Darth Maul.
It's Darth Maul on hormones.
With hooves. And a weird tongue.
Yeah, but I want to go to this director, man. Like you said, he's done Annabelle, both Insidious movies that's come out. He's done The Conjuring. He did Saw 4 and 5, if I'm not mistaken.
He did Dead Silence.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
That one is weird.
What was that other one? Death something?
Death Sentence?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the Kevin Bacon movie.
I don't like any of this dude's fucking films. Yeah, Kevin Bacon was the one you just said, Death Sentence, yeah.
Yeah, there's a movie called Demonic, which it comes out this year. He wrote.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the trailer for that one.
But he had his hand in all the Saws.
Oh, he's in all the Saws or whatever? Which ones did he direct? It was just 4 and 5, right?
Just the first one. He was producer on everything else.
Okay. So he just wrote the first one. Well, you know, the first one actually is coming out this week again, re-release.
What, for the 10-year anniversary? Yay.
Yes, anniversary share like that, because I noticed on my calendar for my my movie screeners coming up, whatever, that Saw movie, and I was like, this is a remake or something like that, and I looked it up, and I was like, man, it's the same shit.
What are they going to change?
Why are they producing this as if it's like some new release or something?
And I'm trying to think of the plot of this movie. I really am.
I don't like this guy, though, this director. I don't think
he. No, he does the same shit. If you've seen all this,
he does the same shit, and everybody's hyping him up. It's like, ooh, he's coming over to the Fast and Furious franchise. He's gonna do such great wonders for that. I'm just like, this dude ain't gonna do jack shit. Okay.
But you do have to give the guy credit. Everything he has touched, except I think Dead Silence and Death Sentence, has made a shitload of money.
Oh, because his fucking movies are cheap.
Yes.
His movies are cheap. You go to the Saw franchises or whatever, it's like, yeah, of course those are going to make money or whatever because it's a franchise at that. Fast and Furious 7, that's just not going to make money because he's on it. That's just going to make money because it's been making money since it came back. And then Insidious, like you said, that's just $1.5 million?
Yes.
The Conjuring, I think, was like $3 million, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm checking the budget for the second one. $5 million.
The second one was fucking just as cheap, man. I remember that one. It was like $5 million or something.
$5 million.
And The Conjuring was like, what, $3 or $5 million too?
I've never actually seen Conjuring. That was $20 million.
No, you ain't missing shit, trust me.
No, if I seen Conjuring, if I seen Insidious, I've seen Conjuring probably.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just everybody's freaking out over this ghost clapping. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Can you help me with the plot on this one? I'm kind of baffled.
Well, plot of this is we got a married couple here, Rose Byrne, Patrick Wilson, like you said, and in this movie James Wan, he teams up with a Paranormal Activity writer slash director,
Oren Peli,
that's right. Oh yeah,
who does the same shit? Him.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same fucking shit. So you know, we find out that this couple that moved into this house or whatever, and it's kind of like you believe that the house is haunted. It's almost a haunted house story or whatever. But then we later realize that it's the son that's haunted because I believe that they move to a new house. And then next thing you know, they realize, oh, it's not the house that's haunted. It's the boy. That's why he was in this coma. I believe after he went in some attic or some shit like that.
Yeah, and he fell off a ladder.
Yeah, fell off some ladder and some bullshit, whatever. I just want to say that is some bullshit for your ass right there because that can go to hell.
Yeah, I think you go to the coma, the initial reaction for falling off the ladder, not the next night.
Yeah. So for him to believe that, yeah, that's already bullshit.
Plot.
You go to coma, it's not cancer.
Negative.
Don't just kick in.
Negative nice. Point, negative point number one of the movie.
As far as realism go. Because, like you just said, if you're going to go into a coma, I don't think it just happens overnight. You just don't wake up and be like, you know what, I'm deciding I'm having a coma right now. It's not cancer. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't kick in after a while. It kicks in right away. So then we start to see bruises and marks on this kid or whatever. They're like, oh, something's beating him, I think, and maybe it's the father or whatever, or Patrick Wilson and shit like that. So then we bring in this, who was this old bitch?
Here? Lynn Shay.
Fuck her. When they bring her in, and the fucking B-Team Ghostbusters.
I would say they're not Ghostbusters, it's like the Ghost Hunters, but the comedic version of it.
They're the parody of the Ghostbusters, because they wear the same suits and shit almost, or whatever, and they're like, this is, I think this, when that part happened, when they bring this chick in, that's when I was telling you the third act kicked in, and I started laughing. I was just like, mm-hmm. This movie went from, oh, and don't even get me started on her explanation. He's not dying. He's doing astral projection. You can do it too. Close your eyes. You can be there. I said, you gotta be fucking kidding me. This movie went from horror to science fiction to a comedy.
Yeah. True. I mean, that's, oh my god, that's pure comedy. It's...
How can you tell somebody they can just do fucking astral projection and then just, like, supposed to believe it? Like, close your eyes, you can be there, too. It's like, what?
And then they're saying Patrick Wilson's character, Josh, he couldn't take his pictures because there's, like, a mysterious woman behind him.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, wait a second, he's married, so obviously he got wedding pictures.
Yeah.
Or video. So, plot point number two.
You know, we jumped ahead there. We already at the end of the film. Let's rewind back here and shit. What did you think, man, of the acting in the film? Let's go ahead.
I really do like Patrick Wilson. I really do like him. He's got a lot of person.
I like him a lot, but I like him. I can't really think of anything. I think he's a fine actor or whatever, but I don't think he's good for horror movies, personally. I don't think he fits the role.
No, it seems like he plays the same... I mean, just based on the trailers for Insidious 2 and Conjuring, he looks like he plays the same characters. He's like a... Especially in this one, he's a disbeliever, and then all of a sudden, I believe it.
Yeah, he saw... did you ever see Insidious 2?
No, not after watching this one, no.
Insidious 2 is worse, but he rips off Jack Nicholson from The Shining scene.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
That's fucking horrible.
Which is another thing, like, okay, they moved to another house while the kid's in a coma, living there.
Yeah.
One, I don't think you're supposed to do that, because isn't that supposed to disrupt?
Yeah, you're not supposed to move a coma patient.
Okay, and they hung up these pictures he drew... That says he's watching himself sleep, and then they the red faced Darth Maul, and nobody noticed that before.
I know.
And what happened to the other kids?
I like that nobody noticed. It's like, have you looked at our son's drawings? Or whatever. It's like, bitch, did you not see them hanging on the wall before at the old house? I mean, oh, don't even get me started when they. Okay, nobody's at home. Rose Byrne's unpacking at the new house, right? She hears a noise. She goes outside. She has her music playing, right? Why, when she hears the music stop and the music kicks back on to a different song, she looks through the window, and I swear to God, you see the demon doing the ghetto hokey pokey.
That little boy?
And then she goes in the house, and the music just stops, and he's gone or whatever. And I was just looking at that, and it was like, who the fuck said this is the scariest movie ever? demon was literally doing up here, shaking his finger, and dancing to the fucking beat of the song. I was like...
And that song.
And the song choice, too. What was it? I don't even remember what it was.
It was Tiptoe Through the Truth. I can't think of his name. He's the one with the ukulele.
Yeah.
He's
fuck.
Dead, though, but... crap.
I'm sure you'll come back with. I'm sure
you're I'm looking. I'm looking it up. It's Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. There you go. Tiny Tim shaking his finger and moving his legs up and down or whatever and shit, dancing. And then she looks in the window and she's looking scared. And everybody in the theater, when I remember seeing this going, oh my God, or whatever. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be fucking kidding me.
And the boy's dressed like he was from the 30s.
He looked like one of them railroad workers.
He looked like a little rascal.
He looked like fuck.
There's no black people in this movie.
That's right, you're right.
Because that was Haunted House.
That's right.
That's how black people act in that situation.
He was alfalfa, there you go.
But
he looked like Darlene.
And then she's walking through the house, and there's like a, I think it's like a cabinet or something, and the
yeah.
And like the curtain or the dressing was like over, like, it kind of got pushed in. There's shoes. And that's supposed to be scary?
That was some scary movie shit right there. Hiding behind the curtain with shoes. I can see you behind the curtain or whatever. What? Oh, shit.
And what was the deal with the baby monitor with the voice?
Oh, my God. Okay. You want to get into cliches, man. That was the biggest cliche in here. They kept doing that shit over and over again. It was like, I've seen this before. And the problem with Insidious 2 is the cliches that they're doing, that everybody keeps saying, oh, it's new and different or whatever, is they keep repeating it throughout the fucking movie. So if it's a technique to be used by a director, it got overused in this movie.
Yeah. And... oh, my God, man. This is seriously, like, we did rate Blair Witch and stuff, but this is absolutely worse because of them saying that this was the scariest movie of all time.
I put this up there with Blair Witch for it, because, you know, Blair Witch obviously got some praises out of it, too. And I put this up there with Blair Witch and saying people thought that this was scary. It's like, so all these other horror movies are bullshit compared to people, but this one is the one that stands out over them. They're saying, like you said, it was the scariest movie that's ever seen. It's the greatest horror movie. And I'm just like, well, then if that's the case, then every other horror movie is also a fucking masterpiece, too. And I better not ever hear complaints about it, because if you think this is a fucking masterpiece or the scariest movie you've ever seen, you're a fucking moron.
Did this start, or I mean, I know Paranormal Activity did their own thing, but that was found footage, though. But did this start the whole ghost stupid shit in the 2000s?
No, that's hard to say. I don't know, because obviously I don't have a, I'm not a fucking horror.
Because without Insidious, there's no Conjuring. There's probably no Annabelle.
I would say Insidious was probably the most popular.
Why?
I have no idea. Cause I'm pretty sure there was horror movies before this that started the ghost, but that didn't get as popular as Insidious did.
No, but and Rose Byrne and Patrick Wilson, not really. They're not really. I want to say A-list people that's really going to draw a crowd.
No, and it's not, they don't really bring the crowds, and so I don't know what it was. But another thing is, too, you've constantly said in this review that they're good actors. You said you like them a lot.
I do. I like them both.
And I don't think you never once in these movies get a feel for how good they can. I don't think they're utilized in this movie at all. I think you could have got any fucking actor in here. You could have got me and Z to be playing a gay couple. and you would have got the same reaction out of you would have got out of these two, because I don't think they're utilized at all. I think they're wasted.
Yeah, I would say based on who they are.
Yeah, because you literally could have got anyone to portray these roles, and because they did nothing, they didn't do a damn thing.
Mm-mm. No, and that's a shame for based on who these two are.
And maybe that's a good thing for their characters, because, you know, they're two actors that don't bring in money or really good criticism and shit like that, whatever. So maybe a franchise like this was made for them, because it gives them attention, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think Rose, she was more known for, you know, her work in England.
Yeah.
And I think her biggest movie here was 28 Weeks Later, at the time.
Yeah.
And then she did Knowing, oh my god. Then Insidious, okay, I'm gonna stop. Then Bridesmaids.
Hey, she was in the background for X-Men First Class.
Yes, an internship.
and Neighbors this year.
And Annie.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, that's right.
Maybe I'll change my opinion on her now.
He's like, you know what, she's horrible at picking spirit. And Patrick Wilson,
I just like him because he's like, he does do his, like, I think the way he seems so cool and the facial expressions and his emotion, I really do like him.
I'm trying to figure out what his biggest role was. Cause,
you know, A-Team?
What?
A-Team?
That movie is forgettable to the people.
Well, wait, he was Watchmen.
Yeah, he was Night Owl in Watchmen, but you don't really hear people talk about that movie, right?
No, he's in Prometheus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh.
I think you're about to have a second outlook on both of these actors now.
he was in that Lakeview Terrorist.
Oh, jeez. Okay, see. Insidious might be the best thing for these two.
Okay, he was Barry Monday, and I actually like that movie.
I'm like 50-50 on Watchmen. I think it's good for what that source material is, but I think the director, man, Zack Snyder, man, he put some shit in there. You just like, why would he even put it? Okay, no, I don't see this in there. 18, I thought it was a fun movie. Fun popcorn movie. I don't mind watching that one.
But you're right, it's forgettable.
Yeah, it's forgettable, and I don't think he was the outstanding actor in that film is what was memorable, at least.
It
was
no, the team. The team. Yeah, it's about the team, yeah.
Yeah, the team itself. Lakeview Terrace. Man, anytime Samuel Jackson's a co-star in something, you know damn well you're going to get overlooked because of Samuel Jackson. So it's like, I don't even remember him being in that film, actually. Prometheus, I don't even remember him in that fucking film.
He was Shaw's dad.
Damn, that shows you how much I gave two shit.
Oh, shit. You know who the guy who played Specs, the guy with the glasses, who was writing stuff down when that girl, when the lady was in that fucking gas mask thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was the Adam guy from Saw. One guy in the room with, what's his name?
Didn't we just bring him up like a couple of weeks ago?
Lee Wanell?
Yeah, yeah, I thought did we bring him up like a couple of weeks ago?
It's possible. It's possible.
You know, it probably off air. It might have been off air because I remember. I think either me and you or somebody talked about that guy or whatever shit. Yeah, that whole gas mask thing, that was stupid as fuck.
Yeah, I didn't know what was that supposed to happen. I think Rose Byrne's expression, like "What the fuck are you doing?" spoke to everyone else in the watching.
I'm telling you, when that lady got introduced into the film. When that old bitch got introduced in the film, that's when it straight became comedy.
You know what I'm thinking?
I don't take any of this serious anymore.
You know what I'm thinking?
What's her name in the movie? It was Eliza or Lisa?
Elise Rayner.
Elise Rayner? Yeah, yeah. When she got introduced into the film with her fake-ass Ghostbuster scene, that's when I knew this goddamn movie was going to be a comedy. And before that, everything else that was supposed to be scary was nothing but cheap jump scares. And in any technique that could have been cool, such as the baby monitor thing, which is not really, really cool because it's not new. We've seen it before. But if it can be cool... It got overused and overplayed so much that it's like, okay, I don't find any of this interesting at all. And the main problem with this movie is it's fucking boring.
Oh, yeah. It's like 1:42 and it's very long.
It doesn't really kick in into the supernatural shit until, which when it becomes a comedy, when Lise Rayner comes in and you're just like, okay, shit's going on now. That's interesting. Because before that, I had an hour and almost damn near an hour of just really some boring ass shit and just seeing some bruise marks, some people walk by a window, Patrick Wilson being in denial of helping and shit like that. I'm just like, okay, I don't care about any of this shit. Can we speed this process up? Because, my God.
And what happened to the kids? The other baby and the other kid. The mom was there.
They were just background effects.
Oh, so they just got rid of the kids? You're like, you know, we don't need you kids anymore. You're gone. You're just going to go stay with some distant relatives.
You're not important because you're not possessed like this one. He's what's important right here. So, you know, you're right. Do you see them at all? And that when
after they moved? No.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm thinking about that now. I was like, I don't remember seeing them now.
They left the kids at the old house.
They left them there. They said, you'll be safe here. The main problem with Insidious is, I don't care what nobody says, it isn't scary, it's fucking laughable, and actually, it's people like, it's kind of sad.
And you know what, this is the reason I hate kids in these movies. And this kid, Ty Simpkins, proved that in these movies.
Yeah, Ty Simpkins was a little bitch.
He was the same kid in Iron Man 3. And I'm like, wait a second, I actually liked him in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, in Iron Man 3, they actually gave him lines and fucking shit to write and stuff like that. They actually gave that kid things to do. Man, that kid... And Iron Man, okay, I want to say, he looks really, I don't know, he doesn't look that old in Iron Man 3, but damn, this came out in 2011, he looked like a baby in this film.
He did. How old is he supposed to be, like 9?
He looks like he was 6, dude.
I don't even know how the other kid, they do not look like fucking brothers.
No, but he looked like he was 6 in this movie, and Iron Man 3... came out last year. I mean, that's a 2-year difference or whatever. And he looked like he could have been passing for at least 12 in Iron Man 3.
Makeup does wonders.
And apparently it does or whatever. But and the kid was awesome in Iron Man 3 because they actually gave him a story arc to balance out with Tony Stark. And here, he's just an annoying little sick bitch.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking watching this? Especially when Lin Shaye came on and stuff? It screamed Poltergeist.
Oh, man, that's, you know, that's the biggest thing about this Insidious franchise, too. And I'm not just talking about the first, I'm talking about the second one as well. Everyone keeps admitting, like, oh, how new and invigorating this is for horror and how different it is. It's like, you guys know that this shit is just borrowing from other classic horror films, right?
Yeah, because she played the old lady from Poltergeist. I can't think of her name. The old lady from Poltergeist. And that's what that team was supposed to be, like the Poltergeist team.
And they even stole scenes from, like, the supposedly scary scenes. Those are straight-up scenes out of the original fucking Halloween film.
Yeah.
The whole walking by the window and shit, I'm just like, come on now. That's not scary. That's stealing. And they even shaked the guy to be the size of Michael Myers, too. That was a thing. I was like, This is scary. And then even in Insidious 2, I just said one thing, whatever. They stole scene from the fucking Shining and shit. So there's nothing new about this at all.
I mean, you've seen Annabelle. Did they rip off stuff from other movies?
Of course, yeah.
So that I'm guessing that's what the writers or even James Wan is doing, is just stealing stuff from other movies.
But why the fuck is people going around saying this is new?
Probably because they haven't seen those others.
That's a damn shame, too. Because these people that are seeing these are so-called horror lovers and shit.
Mm-hmm. I truly don't understand why these are so high praised.
When others are shit?
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, there's nothing wrong with borrowing for horror movies from other classic horror movies, too. It's just don't go out calling this movie it's new and invigorating. It's doing stuff different than other
movies. Yeah, saying it's original.
Bullshit. Because I think you should borrow sometimes from other... To be honest, you're going to have no choice but to borrow from some other horror movies, because how are you going to get those classic those scares and shit like that without looking at some classic horror films and realizing that, like, this is what you do to make things scary and shit without making it look cheap and jumpy?
Yeah.
So I think there's nothing wrong with borrowing from horror films, but don't sit up here and say that we're new. This has never been done before. It's like, bullshit. I mean, every horror movie borrows from something. I don't care what you say. Nothing slows down a movie, man, when people are sitting in a living room, discussing the meaning of astral projection.
That was a long scene, too.
Man, with that scene, I wish me and you could have watched this together, because when that scene kicked in, you would have been, I know the look you probably would have did, you probably would have looked my way, and you would have saw the biggest what the fuck look on my face, like, no, they are not sitting up here describing astral projection and giving an explanation on how you can do it.
This went from a horror movie to a sci-fi, like, quickly. Yeah.
And that goes back to one of those old classic horror mythologies of not explaining things. Because when you explain things in horror movies, that shit sounds stupid as fuck. And this, there you go. They explain the meaning of astral projection here, and you couldn't help but roll your eyes and just go like, no, they did not spend 10 minutes to explain how the hell astral projection works.
Do you think that was just stuff? Do you think that was just filler?
It had to be filler, man. They had to be running out of time. Like, I'm telling you, that last third act, even as goofy as I thought that the first half and the second half was, especially when the demon was dancing and shit in the scene, whatever, as goofy as I thought that was, by the time it got to the third act, I was like, I think James Wan just said, fuck it, just put anything in this film, because this was completely different tone shifts throughout this movie. The consistency in this film is all over the place, and the tone shifts don't even match. And that third act, it was almost like a whole other director came in, or James Wan really thought he was directing some clever shit right here, because I'm telling you this right now, that shit was not clever at all.
And then there's like they pass it off from his dad, so Patrick Wilson can do the same thing, and his mom, who, Barbara Hershey, yeah, she's probably the biggest name in this movie for the older folks.
Yeah.
That she doesn't even look like she could be his mom.
No, thank you. I was about to say, she looked like she could have been a fucking older sister.
Yeah. And that
I'm gonna read a quote from a critic that I remember reading when I first saw this movie. I actually looked it up.
Big name critic?
Not really, but it was one of the first reviews I saw. I mean, he works for the Flix Capacitor website, or whatever. Okay, so he says, and I quote, "The final third act makes a jarring shift into increasingly silly territory, but the build-up and jump scares are effective and to make something new and invigorating."
He obviously was high watching this movie.
He just admitted shit was silly, but the jump scares are effective and work into something new. That don't even make any damn sense.
The jump scares were cheap.
There's nothing new and effective about the jump scares in that third act. Because in the third act, what happens is Darth Maul appears. There's nothing scary about that Darth Maul at all.
No, I don't know why he had hooves. They tried to act like he was a devil.
I was about to say he looked like the devil from fucking Tenacious D. There you go. That's how cheap he looked. Whatever. I was just waiting for him to pull out a guitar and start rocking out, because that's what he looked like. He looked like he belonged at a metal concert.
Like Spinal Tap.
I was really waiting for him to pull out a guitar or something, like, or his lightsaber and start like hitting a beat with him or something.
And I'm like, one, if you're gonna make a devil, don't rip off Darth Maul.
Yeah, and he had like horse legs too.
Yeah. Wait. He had horse. He had regular legs, but he had horse hooves.
Yeah, with the fur and all that shit. I was just like, I don't get it. Like,
he was sharpening his nails on a sander. He had a tail. This was like a cartoon demon.
It was a fucking there you go. Why was he okay? When Patrick Wilson goes into this world, or whatever, his son is tied up and shit like that. What was he doing? What the fuck was the demon doing?
Sharpening his nails.
Sharpening his nails with some piano.
No, it was that tip. It was that
just
tip.
Sitting there looking like, wow, how easy was it for him to use? What was that?
It was the Tiptoe to the Tulip song.
Oh Jesus Christ! Okay, yeah, fuck this movie.
And what was the point of Patrick Wilson when he first, falls asleep and does an astro and then goes somewhere else? And then you had all the other demons, like the demon with the gun and shoot the family and the guy that, like, attacked him and all that. What was all that shit?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear a word you saying, because once you said astral projection again, my eyes just started rolling again.
What was the deal with the other demons?
Every time I hear you say astral projection, I just go like, you gotta be fucking kidding. Come on. Astral projection isn't fucking real.
And then we get to the ending. He meets the ghost from his past.
Oh, gee. Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Like, okay, if this what this movie was building up to, for him to meet the ghost from his past, what was the whole point of Darth Maul and all that shit then? What was all the whole point of that?
Was he like the boss? Was he like the leader?
Was he like working for this chick that was hunting Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, like, what's the demon's plan for the kid and the dad? You know, it doesn't make sense.
In the second film, Darth Maul never once shows up, but this new one shows up, and like they try to go over some little background for her, but you're just like, wow, that was the most boring background I've ever heard of somebody, whatever. And then when it comes up, you're just like, well, then what happened to all the, like you just brought up, what happened to all these other demons now? And the third one, they're saying, oh, this demon might come back. It's just like, okay, so why are all the demons fucking with just this family now?
Yeah. Oh, and then his demon possessed him, I guess.
Okay.
And then he kills the ghost hunter girl because she took his picture.
Yeah. So he kills him because she's dead in the second one as well and stuff like that. So it's like, as a matter of fact, there it goes again. Another horror movie where nobody dies except the one person at the end. It's like,
and it's a strangulation too.
Yeah, and you didn't even get to see it. You just turned around and saw, like, a body just laying there. You're just like, oh, okay, well, I thought she just died of old age.
And then, this is what confused me on a sequel. At the very end, Rose Byrne picks up the camera, sees the demon as her husband, and he grabs her and goes, I'm right here. After she calls him, and then she turns around, gasp, movie over. I'm like, okay, that's a cliffhanger, but then you make a sequel? Uh-huh. Like time passed.
Sequel, and even though you just described that scene, which makes perfect sense, right? They made a sequel, but in the sequel, she don't suspect Patrick Wilson being possessed or nothing like that. I'm just like, but it ended with her knowing that.
So we're just supposed to forget about the first one?
Supposed to forget about that scene that just happened or whatever. I mean, and the funny thing is, they keep bringing that scene up too. It's just like, oh, what's her name? Elisa, she died right here and stuff like that. But it's like, Roseburn, did you forget the scene where you picked up that camera and saw your husband as the demon here? Or, because you guys never really solved that at all. I mean, so I don't know why you're wondering, like, what's wrong with my husband. I think you know what's wrong with him. He's fucking possessed.
Yeah.
I thought the narrative of this whole thing was just fucking ridiculous. I thought it was annoying. And I think the ending, the problem with the ending is it struggles to explain too much. It takes itself a bit too literally.
I'm kind of with you that they tried to make it seem serious. And from a mile away, you can see the scares coming.
Yeah, they're nothing new.
They're it's really, they really foreshadow, especially with the music.
Oh my god, the music, man. That was one of the worst parts of the movie.
They foreshadowed it big time.
You should have seen the music for Insidious 2 when the title card came up. It made a loud screeching noise. I was like, okay, this movie is a joke already. I was like, all right, I'm not taking this serious at all this time.
No, this is not a serious movie.
The funny thing is, this movie does things that people normally hate about these movies, and yet this one gets love. Like, I've heard so many times in a horror movie, people say, why do they have to explain it or something like that? This movie builds itself up on explanation. Exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, no one had a problem with that. Nobody once talked about this fucking astral projection shit as being ridiculous as it was. The fact that Patrick Wilson can literally close his eyes at the age he is, even though he got told when he was a kid he was able to do this or whatever. So you mean to tell me in the past, I don't know, 20-something years, 30 years or whatever, all the times he's closed his eyes, he never once astral projected. But just because this bitch just told him he could do it, he closes his eyes, goes to sleep, and it just happens?
Yeah, I thought about that too. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. They said, because she didn't want it, because they wanted to keep it away, you know, have him forget, so they didn't bring it up, they didn't take his picture. I'm like, you can't tell me he did not get his picture taken in the 30-plus years of his life.
Yeah, even in the second one, they tried to explain that, hey, oh, we erased his memory to remind him that he couldn't ask for projection.
They erased his memory?
It was something like that, like we tried to make him forget or something like
that. Is this Men in Black? Jesus Christ.
You know what we did? We hypnotized him so he could do that. I was just like, okay, are we serious here?
Jesus Christ.
You know, it would have made more sense if they had fucking did a Men in Black and just defibrillated his ass. That would have been more, you know, that would have been more believable had the fake ass Ghostbusters showed up in black suits and did, had black glasses on and said, can you look at this little dot right here? I would have been like, alright, well.
Funny? Oh god, this movie. This movie, it just gets a lot of from us, it's getting a lot of shit based on the fact they're saying this is the scariest movie of all time.
Oh, it's getting a lot of shit from me, because when I first saw it when it came out, I thought it was a joke. And then, I read 3 reviews before seeing it, and they were glowing reviews about it. And even one from the co-host himself back on Spill.com who said this movie did something different. So I was like, okay, I'm a little pumped for this. I went to go see it. And I remember walking out thinking it was a joke, and everybody else was going to laugh and hate it. And then when, you know, the final percentage score came out of it, I was just like, wow, are we serious about this?
Like, this guy, his name's Steve O'Brien. I'm reading up, like, a review.
Yeah.
He said, most terrifying film since The Exorcist.
Okay. Dude, you can eat a dick, dude.
He's obviously never seen a movie since The Exorcist before this.
Scariest horror films of fucking all time and shit. What the fuck?
He's never seen any other movie besides Exorcist and Insidious.
Probably so, yeah.
Titanic is more scary than this.
I'm about to say, yeah, Titanic. He was on that boat. This is, that was a scary fucking film and shit. Mortal Kombat Annihilation is more scary than this shit.
I'd rather be on the boat than watch this again.
Yeah. I'd rather. Yeah, at least you know you're going to get you some.
Yeah.
Draw
this is kind of, this movie is seriously screams like M. Night. It's an M. Night movie.
You know what? I could agree with that. You know what? It had Takings of Devil. That movie he did or whatever.
That he didn't really direct. That they're saying he didn't direct.
No.
But it was his movie because you can tell.
Yeah. It had the same shots and scenes and feel for it as that movie did watching it. And I don't know. I walked out of the movie laughing. I thought this was a joke. I thought everybody was going to get in on the joke, but no.
You probably had a lot of weird looks on your face from people.
Yeah, because I was laughing in the fucking theater. I was laughing my ass off. Even my date was just looking at it, and she was just like, I was actually looking forward to seeing this. But she was like, "This." I remember when the Ghostbusters walked in, she literally said, oh my God. And I remember looking at her, and I was just laughing. She was like, "You find this funny, huh?" I was just like, "This is a joke, right? It's laughable."
This is a joke.
But not according to this guy from The Vine. He says, it's intelligent, it's well-paced, it's packed with both unsettling scenes and pop-up shocks that never feel cheap.
Well-paced? There's 10 minutes of talking about the fucking plot.
It's 10 minutes of talking about astral projection. He said it's intelligent, though. It's intelligent.
What's intelligent?
He said... there's never pop-up shock, and it never feels cheap. Get the fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here.
It is, nowadays, it is really hard to get a creative jump scare, because it's always foreshadowed.
Yeah.
You always see it coming.
And you know why? You put up a good point, too. It's because, why? Because they always put in music.
Yeah, I mean, if the music, this, especially in Insidious... When they turn to tense music and eerie music, you know something's coming, but you just don't know when. So, if it was no music...
My fiance, she doesn't really care for the horror movies that much. She said she doesn't generally like that scary shit. So we went to go see Ouija together, right?
I'm sorry.
She doesn't like to see blood. Well, I don't say she don't like to see, but she nearly jumps when she sees blood and shit like that, whatever. There was a scene where they were walking down the hallway... And then this music just kicked in. I remember I looked at her and said, "You better close your eyes." And she was like, "Why?" And then next thing, something just happened. I was just like, "Cause it's, I don't know if it's because I've seen a lot of movies or whatever and stuff. And like you said, it's foreshadowing in here. And pretty much anyone can tell from horror movies these days or whatever and stuff. But there's just certain setups you can tell when something's about to happen or it's gonna be a fake out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, like you said, there's nothing intelligent about this because. Or feeling cheap because you can see it coming from a mile away. Because the movie sets itself up as if something is about to happen in this scene. Like the whole, when they move the new house, the music cuts off. You know something's going to be there. You just don't know what it's going to be. Or pretty much everything. When it's nighttime, someone's constantly making noises or walking by windows or shit like that. I mean, you just know.
Walking by windows.
Fuck that scene, man. I remember what? I heard someone scream in the theater when they saw it. I was just like, you gotta be fucking.
You know what? I think this was the first movie when it was coming out that they did that green camera, the preview about audience reactions. I think this was the first movie that did that.
They did that with Paranormal Activity.
Did they?
Yeah, I remember that shit.
I know they did it for this.
Yeah, I remember they did it for this, too, and, you know, they had all the people jumping and screaming and shit like that. I'm gonna tell you this right now, people. I've been to one of those. That shit is fake as fuck. They tell those people to do that shit.
What do they do? Give them, like, electric shock the chairs?
They give you, like, fucking prizes and shit. Like, oh, we'll give you free movie tickets or something like that.
Whoever can act the scariest.
Yeah, you know what? I've been to enough screeners, and I'm talking about, like, people, whether it's public or private or critics or just for the public or whatever, they tell you this shit. Actually, that's one of the most annoying things about screeners, too. I can even vouch for one I just saw right now. They were saying, okay, well, we just want you to know that some of the special effects aren't as finished as you'd like them to, so why don't you just be, like, a little less harsh on them or stuff like that. It's like, then why, when you hand these critics these fucking scorecards and you put that on there, like, what did you think of the special effects? And then you put on there, it was shit. And then they questioned you, but it's like, well, why would you put that? We told you it's not that great in here. It's just like, then why you put this on this card then? Why are you asking?
Then why have a screener if it's not done yet?
Thank you.
I would not show one of my movies if it wasn't done.
It's like, they give you a point. You get a 1 through 5, whatever, right? And they ask you, what do you think of the special effects? And obviously they told you it's not finished. So what am I supposed to put on there? I'm going to put a 1 on there, right?
Yeah, are you supposed to guess what they're going to be?
Thank you, yeah, I'm going to guess that it's going to be better when it comes out in theaters and shit like that. So you put a 1 on there and go like, oh, and why were you unsatisfied with it? It's just like, bitch, because you just told me it's unfinished.
You're not going to get a 5 just because it's not...
You're going to get a 5?
If you go to 5, you're going to think their effects are good in that movie.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, it looks better, you don't need to fix it. You got 1!
That would have been awesome. It's a 5. Don't change anything.
They've done the same things in these horror films and shit. They literally, I remember I went to one. I can't remember which one it was. And they literally told me, told all of us whatever and stuff. They was like, try to act as if this is the scariest thing you've ever seen. Because we have they even said, we got the actor and the director here, and we want to impress them on how scary this film is. I said, wait, what did he just say? And then enjoy the movie. I was like, I remember looking at my person and I was like, what did he just say?
Is that the studio that calls for that or the theater?
The studio.
Oh, so they're just pandering to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, and the director does it too.
Fuck that.
Yeah, that's some bullshit right there. Like, it's almost as if they're begging for the critics to say, just go along with it. If you don't like, that's why they always say, keep it to yourself. Wait till the movie comes out, whatever. Because they know that it's like, okay. I can't tell you how many screens I done got where I've gotten ones on them cards.
And what's funny is that some of these horror movies, Insidious ain't one of them, but they don't. Some of these don't get previewed for critics before it gets released.
A lot of them don't actually.
I want to say about 75% don't.
Oh man, maybe 90%.
Dude. Maybe 90. Only stuff like this gets screened. Like slashers, no, they won't get screened no more. They won't get screened for critics no more.
And a lot of the reason why is the horror movies won't come out is because they know they're gonna make money. Or whatever. What was this year? No, was it this year? Yeah, Paranormal Activity, the Mark ones.
Oh God.
There's no reason to have a fucking critic screen for that. You know why? That movie was number one when it came out and then went to number six the next week, whatever shit. And people was like, oh, that movie failed. No, that movie made its money back in that opening weekend because that movie was fucking cheap as hell. That's the point of the horror movie. It's cheap to make and easy to make its profit back, so there's no reason for it. A movie of a horror movie these days don't even have to be in the top five to make its money back because they're done for $5 million or cheaper.
I thought we were going to bring up that movie ever again.
Oh, no, it's getting brought up. Trust me, it's getting brought up.
Like Annabelle, that came out, what, last week, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago it came out with Gone Girl?
Yeah, it came out with Gone Girl, that's right, yeah. $5 million to make, or 6.5 or something like that.
It was it's actually 3 weeks. Let me look.
It was number two when it came out, because Gone Girl beat it by just like $2 million or something.
Which is a joke.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that was pretty fucking ridiculous. I was like, wow, $2 million more. And the only reason why that, too, is why I'm wondering, is because Gone Girl was released in more theaters.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, Ouija made $20 million-ish this weekend. It's going to drop to like five or six after next week.
And that movie probably only cost $3 goddamn million.
I'm not seeing a budget. It probably cost $3,000.
You know what, you keep, I actually do have the budget on.
Michael Bay fucking produced it.
Yeah, it was one of those Blumhouse productions and shit.
I didn't know that.
Michael Bay, man, he knows how to make, oh yeah, it was made for $5 million. So yeah, the movie cost $5 million.
Oh, it made its budget.
Yeah, it made its budget back on Friday. Like all horror movies do whatever shit. So there's no reason to have a critic screener for it. And like you said, there used to be a time where they would have, like Insidious 3 coming out in the summer. If it wasn't for this train of horror that's going on, that movie would definitely get a screener for critics and shit like that. But since this franchise is already booming and is doing it for cheap and making money back, they're not going to do that.
It's going to make money regardless. Because do people really pay attention to the critics anymore?
No.
Yeah, so I mean, you're going to get bad reviews regardless. Because the Ouija's, that's probably going to get shit reviews. Yeah, I think that's got like a 15 on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's got 10%.
10%. Yeah, you're going to get shitty reviews, but you're going to make money because, one, you said it was cheap, and it's hot, and it's perfect timing for the movie because due to Halloween.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, marketing strategy, smart because your release date, but it doesn't mean it's not shit. Just because it's number one does not mean it's shit.
Insidious and The Conjuring were the last two horror movies I know that's gotten positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
And we both questioned those.
I don't like both, either one of them.
we both question those.
Yeah, I question those a lot. I think there's, I don't think there's room for a straight horror film these days anymore without adding some other elements to it. And I say that with things like, because obviously, you know, nothing's really as scary no more, and if you try, it's going to be cheap and jumpy. But I would say the best thing you can do for horror movies now is add other genres to it. Like, we saw one last year, World War Z. Not a horror movie at all. It's an action movie.
Action, horror, thriller, drama, a tad comedy. I just say because the guy slipped on the fucking airplane.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But since you just brought...
Hey, by the way, that was the reason why Leighton hated the film, too. I was like, really? That was your reason?
This knife's going to my chest.
That was the reason why you hated the movie. Okay, I don't get that.
But, like you said, like, Night of the Living Dead, for my Night of the Living Dead, there's horror, there's drama, and there's comedy. Action. Yeah, there's a little bit of action. But there's,
yeah, I would assume running around is action, right?
Yeah, and there's comedy. There's a boatload. I mean, people got laughs at the funny scenes.
Because you're not going to be able to scare no one anymore, so the best thing you can do is entertain them.
Yeah. And did Insidious entertain me? No, because it's boring as fuck. It is boring as fuck.
Hey, you know what? It entertained you unintentionally, yes, by making you laugh.
It entertained me how to not make a movie like this.
When you sit in a room for 20 minutes and try to explain astral projection, the plot, and everything that's going on, whatever, you can't help but look at that and be like, okay, are we serious here? Bring up World War Z again. The last third act had a lot of good horror elements added to it and stuff like that.
The one in the, when he's going to get the medicine?
Yeah, when he's going to get the medicine.
Oh, that was more dramatic. I would say more, it's really dramatic.
It was scary as fuck. I ain't gonna lie, I was worried. I was like, man, dude, you get caught, dude. I had a lot of tension to it. Horror elements, dramatic tension, like you said as well. It's filled up with all kinds of things. You can't just flat out scare anyone no more, unless you're a 16-year-old girl.
When was the last movie you watched that you really jumped? Theater or Netflix or whatever.
Oh, Avengers. I was jumping for joy.
Horror movie.
Oh, horror movie. Oh, okay.
Or I should call it a horror.
Oh, which is funny because it's a Halloween 2. I was jumping for joy in the theater that because I was laughing at how stupid it was.
Which one? Oh, wait, you weren't alive in the first one.
Yeah, the new one over there. I was jumping. I don't know if I told the story, but I'll save it for a Halloween show, but I was jumping for joy in that one. That was hilarious. I thought it was funny as fuck. You know what? No, I can't remember. The last time I remember being scared was when I watched the original Exorcist on Netflix, and it freaked me the fuck out. I was scared of shit. I think it was when Netflix first came out or something like that, and they had it on there. And I remember watching it, and I was like, let's see if this movie's still as scary as I remember as a child or whatever.
And it is.
It still kind of freaked me the fuck out a little bit. I was like, there's some creepy shit going on in here. But the problem with the Exorcist now, if I watched it right now, is there's been so many reiterations of it. I mean, there's a fucking Exorcist movie every year that I think they kind of watered it down.
Yeah. I still get freaked out watching Exorcist.
Yeah, I remember you told me that when we had it up for,
I'm like, I don't want to watch that.
I can't remember. What movie was going up against it?
Carrie.
Was it Carrie?
Yeah, that was last year.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah, you kept saying before even now, I don't want to watch that one.
I don't want to watch it.
You even tell everyone, vote for Carrie. He was dead serious, too. He was like, I don't want to watch that movie.
Because, one, that scares the shit out of me, because that could really happen. Possession is real.
Possession is real. But, okay, out of all the Possession movies you've seen, that's the one that freaked you out.
Yes! Her crab walking down the stairs is freaky.
Because nowadays, it's watered down. Oh, you know what?
Because it's PG-13 shit.
Movie, I remember. And I remember I liked it. Even though I thought one scene in it was pretty silly. Well, special effects in there. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The last horror movie I said, got your girl in it. Let me in. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah?
I like that horror movie. I even bought that movie. I can't remember the last time I bought a horror movie on Blu-ray.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I guess it's true. It's really true to the original.
Yeah, it is true to the original. And the problem with it is not that it's scary. It does bring back vampires back in a way, or whatever. It's not that it's scary. It's just that the story that they had going with it was really good.
Yeah, and Chloe's amazing actress.
And Chloe was great in there, and I think it was Cody Smith McPhee, maybe. I think it was. I can't remember the boy they had in there, and he was good in it. I love the cinematography of it, how they kept the scene and stuff, and the vampires really gruesome. There was some bad CG effects in it at time, well, two times, whatever. But there was this one well-shot scene, too, where He was her train, or I guess her keeper or whatever he was. He was killing this guy in the car, and the camera angles on that was just fucking amazing. I was like, the techniques in here is good. You don't see shit done like that in Insidious and stuff like that. So,
no, was this PG-13 or R? Because this had to have been a PG-13. Cause
I bet it was R. I bet it was R. Oh, it's PG-13.
See? All these horror movies are PG. Like, 95% of the horror movies are PG-13. The R's are never are limited release or just fucking straight to DVD.
Well, the last ones we've been getting have been rated R. The Conjuring was rated R. Ouija was rated R. Don't know why.
Was that just a watered-down version of anything?
Man, hey, we got Battleship now. You got Ouija. Hasbro's coming up, man.
Was that a Hasbro movie?
Yeah, it was a Hasbro movie. Hey, Hasbro owns that board game. I looked it up.
Because I think
I said in my review, was it Hasbro or Mattel that made this thing? I was like, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever. And I looked it up after the review was over, and I looked and it was like, it was a Hasbro board game. All right.
Because I think the last movie that I actually jumped was probably The Ring, and that's when she came out of the TV.
Hasbro. Yeah, I'm thinking about Hasbro. They got G.I. Joe. They got Transformers. They got Battleship. Now they got the Ouija, bro.
Chutes and Ladders. Chutes and Ladders or Candyland's next.
I see this universe world working. I see it working now.
I don't know what else they got.
Transformers is going to merge. They're going to team up with the G.I. Joe. They're going to team up with them to stop this ghost in Ouija.
And the ghosts are on battleships.
And yep, there you go. And the board is on one of the battleships they have to locate, but it's hard to find because the board is using its spirits to make itself cloak.
I would pay to see that.
I see it now, man. And they need to use a chute and a ladder to get to it.
And they gotta get the people from Candyland to help.
Yeah. Gotta get the magical fairies.
And to win, you gotta survive a battle of Jenga.
Jenga! Meanwhile, while saying the word sorry 20 times over in the
We just gave Hollywood a movie idea.
Based off of 7-4 games.
We just gave him a movie idea. Starring The Rock and Optimus Prime.
And Mark Wahlberg.
No, we don't need Mark Wahlberg. We just need The Rock and Optimus Prime. That's a seller.
Nah, you know, Michael Bay's got to bring back his boys. They got to team up again. Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson.
We'll throw in Bad Boys too.
Yeah, the RZA as well, because he was in G.I. Joe. You got to put him in there. He's the blind swordsman. He's got to go one on one with the demon.
The demon will be fucking the demon from Insidious.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know what? They used the spirit to bring back Channing Tatum.
And he's a zombie.
Yeah.
No, he's Megatron possessed his body.
Megatron possessed.
And Optimus can fly.
We find out that, just like in Ouija, Channing Tatum, they used the board to bring back Channing Tatum to help them.
And Optimus can fly.
And Optimus flies. They find out he can fly, and he found the spaceship, or whatever to say. It's like, damn, why you use that for? Z, what do you give this?
1.5. I'm only giving the 1.5 based on because Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne.
It's just because you like that. Oh, yeah, this is getting a mighty old fuck it. It's not getting anything better.
This is the strongest fuck it you can give.
Yeah, this is the strongest fuck it I could ever give in my life because I don't get you people. I don't get you people. I don't get you at all. I remember when the second was coming out, people kept posting on my damn wall. All the Insidious posters and shit like that. It's like, oh, that boy is creepy. And Jim just like, okay. And then I loved when the second one was critically panned and didn't make as much. And nobody really liked it. The people that loved the first one were saying, yeah, I kind of expected this in the second one. I mean, it was still entertaining, but it wasn't as good. And I'm just like, y'all just making up excuses now. You're making up excuses. So yeah, fuck this movie.
Yeah, I want to know, seriously, from comments, what is it that attracts people to this movie?
Don't nobody on this site like that movie. No, I'm just playing. Ask later.
Yeah. Seriously, fuck this movie. Stop with the fucking sequels for this. You're not helping.
Oh, great. Well, we got a third one coming up, man, so.
Which, do they just... It makes it, like, $1 million over its budget and they make profit. Oh, we gotta green light the next one.
They better hope that that third one, the budget isn't higher than what it needs to be, because
it's probably gonna be like 5 to 10.
Yeah, if it's over that,
I don't know. The stars in it, there's no way it's gonna be anywhere near five.
if it is over 10 million, they need to rethink that, because they're releasing that in the summer. And next year's summer is fucking action packed. I don't even know
Yeah.
if I fucking see that
And I
shit.
think we've talked about this. Horror movies in the summer don't really do well. Conjuring was at a dead point of the summer.
Well, it's hard to say if a horror movie would do well in the summer, because their budget is only fucking 5 million, and of course they're gonna make that even if they don't make it in the top five, whatever. But if a budget was actually like over 50 million, do you think it'll do okay?
If the budget was over 50 million?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Cause
Maybe
one, that's just throwing money away.
last year it would have, because last year was a shitty summer.
Yeah, that's with Conjuring.
This year's summer has been great, and next year is just, we don't know if it's gonna be good or bad, but there's a lot of shit that's like on everybody's radars coming out. I really think Insidious 3 is gonna get overlooked if it comes out anywhere near May or June.
And there's, they have, and Lynn Shay's coming back for the third one. How in the fuck is she coming back?
I don't get that at all. I don't get that shit at all.
And Conjuring 2, I believe, comes out next year too.
Oh yeah, that's right, it does.
And that's called Enfield Poltergeist. What the fuck?
And if I'm not mistaken, they've already greenlighted the Annabelle.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so. Oh, they're making that Annabelle Conjuring universe, man. Gotta make that universe.
Oh, is it gonna join up with the Hasbro? The doll is controlling the Ouija board.
The
doll
Mattel's trying to
is
get.
gonna clap.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta have DC versus Marvel, Hasbro versus Mattel now, bro. Can't wait, baby.
Oh, this is just like DC versus Marvel.
Hasbro versus Mattel.
It's gonna get fierce.
This is bigger than that, though. This is bigger. You know that. You
Yeah,
know this is.
this is just gonna break box office records.
You know it is, because
Fucking
I don't
Guardians of
know
the
why they announced it.
Galaxy. Be scared.
Yeah. Hey, man, let's get into a polling, man. Our polling choices here, whatever, so we can tell the people what we're gonna be doing for our Halloween special.
Yeah, oh God, they hate us. They really hate us.
Hey, last year it was okay. Let me just go ahead and read it then, first of all, I make this little joke. So, hey, man, which Halloween film should we review for Halloween? The original Halloween, 1978, got 6 votes. Halloween 3, obviously I didn't put Halloween 2 because that was last year's winner. Halloween 3, 1982, The Season of the Witch, got 6 votes, tied with Halloween 1. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, 4 votes.
Yay.
Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, got 1 vote. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, got 0 votes. Halloween H2O, 20 years later, got 4 votes.
Nice.
Halloween Resurrection, got 0 votes.
Sorry, Busta.
Yeah, sorry, Busta.
Here we're not.
Halloween, the remake by Rob Zombie, got 6 votes, tied with the first and third movie. And our winner, Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's other remake, 8 votes. That was the winner. Last year was the original Halloween 2. This year is this Halloween, the new Halloween 2. So, let's make some comparisons too then.
There is no comparison.
I know, there is no comparison.
There's a lot of questions about this movie and why people voted. I think people are just giving us the shitty ones.
Fuck with us.
'Cause we see the tie between the original season 3, which I would have was Season of the Witch, which I would have ripped the shit.
Well, you remember that one was winning in the polls.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. I think when you first put it up.
And we first put it was winning for a while, and then for some reason, Halloween 2 just came out of nowhere.
Well, I think by critics and fans, that's like the worst one of all of them.
Is it? Okay.
I think it is.
I have to rewatch in all of them. They're all pretty bad to
Oh yeah, we discussed that last
Yeah,
year.
we discussed that last year. I was just like, I was like, man, I used to like this guy. Whoa, what the hell? And you know, that second one, everybody remembers how we felt. Did I give that a fuck it?
I think you did, and I think I did too, because that movie completely changed my childhood after watching it again.
Can't wait to talk about this second one, man, because I remember I saw this in a theater midnight screening with my little brother. We were laughing our asses off, man. That was hilarious. So I am excited to talk about Halloween 2. We're about to bring back some funny time because, man, that movie, man, that one did some shit to me.
Oh, that's going to be – that is going to be a fun episode. It is.
Yeah, so people, also, Insidious, this obviously will go up on the original Throwback Tuesday, and that Halloween show, we decided to give you a bonus show instead of making it our Halloween Throwback Tuesday. That one will go up Friday, the day of Halloween, so when you gotta take your kids out trick-or-treating, just put your headphones on and pop this on.
You mean earbuds.
Yeah, your earbuds, whatever.
Beats by Dre.
Your Beats by Dre, yeah. Your Beats pill. You know, just carry your Beats pill around and just blast this out loud.
Yeah, so... have all the trick-or-treated people listen to us.
Or you know what? Play it while as you get ready for taking your kids out to Halloween or going to a Halloween.
Speaking of that, when is trick-or-treat for you out there?
You know, I don't know. Last year, I don't know if I told you, but it was pretty fucking dry, dude, as far as kids trick-or-treat, man. I was telling the fiance, I was like, man, I really want to get some candy out this year, but...
You got a new place now.
Yeah, I got a new place now, but the problem with this place, it's like a private condo and shit like
that. Oh, so you're going to probably have local.
Yeah, so I can't have, like, and it's locked up, so, you know, kids can't come through and stuff like that. And we just had the one kid that I wanted to scare the shit out of, she just moved. And, the other kids that are around here are mainly just baby, like newborn baby, like literally just born like a month ago or something like that, so it's like, oh... So I'm thinking when get off work, maybe get done some work. I'm thinking me and the fiance will go walk around, and I'm gonna buy a big ass bag of candy and just start giving it to kids. Let me call myself the giver.
Are you gonna be like you gonna have a truck and just like the kid molester truck and just drive around?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna have the 18 van, the black one.
Dress up like Mr. T.
I'm gonna have a dog with a mohawk.
Yeah, but I was asking you because here a lot of towns. Move their trick-or-treat from Friday night, which is Halloween, to that Saturday because of high school football.
Awesome!
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I kind of... This year, I did kind of wish that Halloween was on Saturday.
But
because I got a lot of work to do on fucking Friday, and I don't know if I have time to go out or whatever, because by the time I'll probably get back here, back home, or the... That'll probably be like 9 o'clock at night or something like that.
Well, you're always busy.
Yeah, I know, but if it was Saturday, at least I could, like, push some stuff to Sunday or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, I really wanted to give some candy out to kids or whatever, freak them out and shit like that. So I'm thinking I might do that for, like, an hour. Maybe I'll just, like, buy a big-ass bag of candy and walk around and just, like, see kids as walk and give it out. But last year, dude, I didn't see any kids. We really stole this holiday away from the kids.
Yeah, it's more of a...
adult thing now.
Yeah, it's an adult holiday now.
Yeah, we stole that away from just so we could drink, and I'm gonna tell you this right now, P1 doesn't need a holiday to drink.
Amen.
I call that a Tuesday.
A Tuesday.
A throwback Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't need no holiday to get fucked up or whatever and shit.
No.
My fiance's little brother, he's 12, he's the youngest, so he's 12, he doesn't want to go out, he's just like, my parents is going to buy me a bag of candy, stay home and play games. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, depends on the game.
Hey, I was like, oh, okay, I don't fault you, but I can see why kids wasn't going out last year, it's because they're getting lazy.
Yeah, I would do it, depends on the game, though.
I mean, you can buy a big ass bag of candy from fucking Target or something like that for like $5 and get a mixture of them, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I went. He used to be like, I went trick or treating. Don't worry.
Yeah, my sister is goddamn 7. I'm about to be 16. She don't want to do it because she's lazy as well. So, you know, I'm just like,
16's too old.
That's what she said too. She said 16's too old. I said I'm too old. But she did wanted to do a family thing with my mom, dad, and brother. She wanted to go as a Batman family.
Ah, nice. A dead parents.
Yeah. She wanted the she wanted them to be Batman and my mom to be either Catwoman or Batwoman.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted me to be Nightwing and my brother to be Robin and she'd be Batgirl.
Nice.
I was like, you know what? That does sound kind of cool, actually. That'd be cool if it's a show up like that.
Yeah. I miss Halloween.
Yeah. I probably me and the wife are probably just going to go to the Queen Mary's. Supposed to be a haunted ship in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have like a party, a couple of shows, haunted mazes and stuff like that on there and stuff. So we probably just go to that.
Nice, nice.
Keep it simple, so. But, yeah, I don't know. I wish it was on Saturday this year, so.
Yeah, it's better than during the week, so.
Yeah. Because I still got a lot of fucking work to do, so.
Exactly.
Let's get some questions now, man.
Oh, shit. Let's bring them.
Oh, shit. Daryl, he says, seeing how you guys absolutely loved Rush last year, love it this year, too.
When don't you love Rush? I loved it the year before it came out.
Oh, man, that's a try to see how that movie got.
Fuck you, Academy.
I ain't just talking about Academy, I'm talking about everybody. Shit, that movie just got overlooked like a motherfucker. I just recently watched it, too. I watched it in pieces because I had like an hour, and then I was watching it on my tablet and I came back to it or whatever and shit. I was like, God damn, this movie is fucking good.
God, that movie is sweet.
Are you guys excited for Ron Howard's next film with Chris Hemsworth?
Is that Hard to See movie?
Yeah, the whale movie. I forgot what it was called.
It comes out next March, and it's very hard to determine based on trailers for something like that.
I actually thought the trailer looked fucking great.
It looked great. It's just really, for something like that, it's really hard. Because you can put together a really good trailer.
Yeah.
But it's got Cillian Murphy in it, and that's awesome.
Well, based off Ron Howard's last work with Chris Hemsworth, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's easy to say. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it seems like Howard gives Hemsworth more of a role.
Yeah. Another thing is, I really wish that the Academy wouldn't have looked at more. He probably learned. That's why he's releasing that shit in March, because I heard it was supposed to come out this year, and he pushed that shit back. He probably said, fuck the Academy this year.
Yeah, then it's going to be up for next year's.
Yeah, so,
Which, if Rush could have probably won Best Picture this year.
This year?
Yeah, if it got pushed back.
Had it came out this year, I would have said that was probably the best picture I would have seen this
year. It would have been nominated.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't even get nominated, too. Yeah. Ron Howard, definitely, man. His directing in that movie, man, that was... it's called In the Heart of the Sea. Yeah, man. That trailer looked pretty good. I was really feeling that. Like you said, it's got Brendan Gleeson in it, Cillian Murphy, Chris Hemsworth, Benjamin Walker...
Pretty good cast. Really good cast.
Yeah, March 13, man. It seems like every year now they keep pushing these so-called summer movies and Oscar movies up a date now. This year was April, but it looks like this year is going to be March.
Well, I think they're starting to put a lot of summer movies in April now.
Yeah, because they realize summer is fucking crowded now.
Because Captain America. Mm-hmm. And I think
you know that Ron Howard is teaming up with Frost Nix, the screenwriter, screenwriter Peter Morgan in this film.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, so that's another positive about the film as well. So.
And Ron Howard's a really good director, too.
I think he's really underrated, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's been nominated. I think he was nominated.
Yeah, I think he has, too. Yeah, I can't remember for which film.
Gump?
He's actually got two films coming out next year.
Yeah, but I think that one's done, though.
Which one?
In the Heart of Sea.
In the Heart of Sea, yeah. I think it's finished already as well.
I think they're just waiting. I think it's just shelved till March, so that's cool.
He's supposed to be doing a Beatles documentary next year.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even like the Beatles. But if Chris Hemsworth, Paul McCartney, I'll watch it.
He actually worked on this movie I like this year, too, with Reese Witherspoon, The Good Lie.
I've seen the preview, never seen it.
Yeah, it's actually a really good movie. I actually was looking forward to it. I thought it was going to be shit, but then it came out better than what I thought. I think he was a producer on that or something like that.
Yeah, Ron Howard knows this shit. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll see it. It's just, like, Rush. Like, I didn't know what to expect with Rush, so I was kind of really blown away. I think because I
probably a good thing then.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm on a good pace for that one then.
Is this based off a book? I can't remember.
When is a Ron Howard stuff based on something?
Yeah, because I think it's it is based on a book. It's based on a novel detailing the harrowing high seas encounter that influenced the Moby's Dick. Okay, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll definitely check it out. It's not my worst. It's not the number one movie to see next year, but it might be.
Big ass whale, too, by the way.
Yeah, sperm whale.
You know, one thing about this, with all the big heavy hitters coming out next year, this has the potential of being different from all of them by being, you know, a dramatically better film.
And you think it's going to sneak in? It's not going to be box office records or nothing, but...
It has potential, I will say that. I say it has potential because, you know, Ron Howard, Chris Hemsworth, they work well together. So it has potential of being not one of those typical, well, the 2015 summer blockbuster, big budget film, whatever. It just has the potential of being a great drama and story. So I think it has potential of doing that, so...
And Ron Howard's name, it's going to be worldwide released. It's not going to be limited.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Hey, man, we got a question from Holly here. She says, so have you guys given your savings to Marvel for that Avengers trailer?
I gave my firstborn.
Yeah, I gave three of my children away and my left testicle.
And what's funny is, did you see what Marvel put on Twitter?
Which one?
That when the trailer got, quote, leaked, they blamed Hydra.
Yeah, I did see that.
I'm like, that's clever. That was clever.
That was pretty fucking awesome. I love the whole Hydra thing. Man, they're a... Oh, by the way, El Capitan Theater on Tuesday. Well, by the time this goes up, Marvel is having a special press conference. And guess who has a ticket to that?
Leo.
No, not one himself.
Cody. Cody, because he thinks it's Man of Steel.
He thinks it's Man of Steel. I told him it was Man of Steel. I was like, hey, you want to go check out this Man of Steel? He's like, fuck yeah, dude. So I tricked him.
Obviously you.
That's a moral hate ass. Anyway. Oh, yes, man. It is exciting times over at Marvel, man. That Avengers trailer, I fucking studied and analyzed that trailer. I love the Pinocchio song in the middle. I was like, man, we just talked about Pinocchio too.
Oh my god, and Spader's voice.
It's fucking menacing.
That's the perfect word.
It's fucking menacing, dude. He's like, I love that scene where he comes in and he's like his first form, he's all switching, shaking and shit, and all the Avengers are looking, and he's just like, no strength, and just crushed. I was just like, holy shit, dude.
They've ripped that off Pinocchio's Revenge.
Oh yeah. Ripped it off Pinocchio's Revenge.
Which
made a meme actually of Pinocchio singing the song "No Strings" and shit like that. And then they have the picture of Ultron at the end of the trailer saying, "I have no strings." And then it's just Pinocchio's mouth wide open.
That's cute. That's awesome.
Ah, Disney coming full circles.
What's funny is that Hawkeye had more screen time in the trailer than the first Avengers.
I heard that Hawkeye has a big scene in here with the twins.
Nice. But I'm curious because, obviously, the X-Men Days of Futures Past had him first. And I wonder if they're going to... Yeah, Quicksilver. They had him first. I wonder if they're going to do a similar scene. It kind of looked like they did in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious...
Well, the thing is, I think Avengers have they have two things they can do. They can either fuck him up more, or they can make him better, because Quicksilver and X-Men only had one scene.
Yeah, it's funny is that Marvel saw that scene first, because the movie came out this year, so they can obviously say, you know what, we're going to do it this way.
Well, you know, what's his name? Marvel for Disney has been working on this movie longer than Days of Future Past, so...
Yeah. But yeah, the trailer was absolutely
beautiful.
I was like, oh.
The only problem I had with it is I gotta wait fucking 9 months.
I know, seeing the big Iron Man suit.
Oh, the Hulkbuster armor, yes!
My god. And see, oh my God, Elizabeth Olsen.
They made another announcement saying that, you know, because they were supposed to release that trailer with Agents of the Shield this Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
They made an announcement that, hey, even though this one got leaked and we released it, how about some more footage when Agents of the Shield come out then? So they have more footage coming this Tuesday.
So do you really think it was leaked?
There was a report saying it was leaked overseas, that's why. So.
Oh. I bet you that person got fired.
So I'm assuming that they had one of the little Disney Expos, and it probably got released over there, because obviously they get their shit, because some fucking reason they get their shit before us. I don't get that. Like, I don't. How do they get the superhero films before us? I don't get that. But
well, it is. I think Avengers is playing a start, like opening up a week before us, overseas.
I think it's opening up in 2 weeks. It's opening in April.
Fuckers.
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that.
Let's travel.
Yep, gotta go to UK. Go watch me. No, man, I thought the trailer looked really good. This story, man, and the rumor is at this press conference, man, that I'm going to on Tuesday, is that they're gonna show more footage and talk about what's gonna happen as far as the Civil War thing. And they're saying that a new team may appear at the end of Avengers 2: Age of Ultron. And they're discussing who that team may be as far as...
Who's, you know, all going to be there?
I don't know. They're keeping this hush-hush, man. I've been trying to find out details about this further. I just got to wait till Tuesday, so...
You're going
to
be like a fanboy there.
I'm fucking excited. You're going to hear me like quagmire in the background. Like, I want to know if that rumor is true, because I was talking about this in the Movie Spoilers episode, because Cody was saying that they're not going to scrap a whole team to bring in a new team. And I'm just like, I don't know about that. They may do something like that. Now that the Civil War plan has come out, they might actually go that route or whatever. So I'm like, yes. I have no problem with that, especially because they're talking about it could be Ms. Marvel, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, and shit like that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, just gotta wait till May now. Oh, great.
Well, Guardians comes out in about a month.
Yeah, but there's no Marvel movies coming out till next May, man. That's a long time.
I know. Bastards.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. Well, you know what? Always got Gotham. The fucking show is horrible.
I was gonna say, that's why I didn't say nothing. I'm like, what else is left? Arrow?
Oh, hell no. Oh, there was a rumor that came out for DC as well, saying that the TV shows, will they be joint partnership with the movies now? Just like, oh dear God, no.
Can you rip anything else off Marvel?
I hope, because the chief executive over at Warner Brothers in DC, he said that he likes what Marvel is doing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies. And he's saying he would love to have something like that going on with the DC universe going. I'm just like, oh, dear God, no.
You know, I can't wait. I know it's too late, but they should have had, like, for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., be like, something got leaked. Tie it in.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. I hope that... I swear to God, because they've announced that Flash movie. I swear to God, I hope they don't have this guy play in the Flash movie now. Since this chief executive is talking about he loves what they're doing over at Marvel, I'm just like, because that guy is flat as the Flash is horrible.
Yeah, I hated Arrow. So
yeah,
Arrow's so stupid.
Arrow is fucking horrible in his own right, whatever and shit. And you know they brought that little nod up of the Suicide Squad in one of the previous episodes of Arrow, and I'm just like, oh God, the Suicide Squad movie is coming out in 2 years too. I'm just like, oh my God, please don't tie this shit in, please.
Yeah, but yes, I have I gave my savings? Not yet.
It will get it though. It will get it.
All the money I made for my premiere Friday, it's going to Avengers too.
I want to see this fucking movie so bad.
I'm gonna sell my body to Marvel just to see it early.
Just when you think, like, oh, I've seen it all. Guardians of the Galaxy was enough. Atlas continued. They released this fucking trailer. And you go like, God damn it. Man, shit, I got fucking wait this long now to see this movie and shit. Oh, fuck me, man.
You know what's funny is that movies that got released after Guardians of the Galaxy is already going to be on DVD before Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny to me.
I know one thing I will be doing when Guardians coming out. I'm going back. I wanted to do it actually yesterday, but I was like, no, I'll wait till Guardians come out. I'm going to go back over all of Phase 2 movies to set up for...
So, Iron Man 3?
Iron Man 3 all the way up to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, get yourself pumped. Maybe that's what they'll do before Avengers 2 is do Phase 2.
Goddamn. They were even talking about... Phase 3 might be the four-year frick phase.
Well, they already got the Civil War rumor going on.
Yeah, they said that the Civil War was going to... They said that that they weren't going to do any more Orton stories, which was a rumor around there. And I was like, good! I don't want to see no more Orton story. We're past that now.
Well, you got Ant-Man.
We don't know. Technically, it's not an Orton story because they're following Scott Lang, not Hank Pym, Ant-Man, so...
Oh.
Hank Pym was the first Ant-Man, and since they had Michael Douglas playing an older Hank Pym or whatever, and Scott Lang coming in, I don't think necessarily, it's not necessarily an origin story, but more of a just a in-place story, so...
Do you think, since Marvel's got like 2029 or whatever they got, and then DC just announced...
Man.
Do you think, and DC announced their plans for their shit, do you think the comic book phase might... be like, might drop down because there's so much.
The stories start getting tired if it gets weak, but I think that comic books have so much storylines that people are going to jump to them right away because if you've read the books and stuff like that, like, obviously, I've been waiting for a Civil War movie, like, franchise for, like, the longest, and to see it come to screen, it just made me even more excited even seeing that, so the thing is, DC... They have a lot of interesting stories. I don't know why they're not following them.
Because they can make better ones.
They really fucking can. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on over there, but a lot of people were wondering, like, oh, you're more excited for Avengers than you are Batman vs. Superman. It's like, hell yeah, I am, because Batman vs. Superman still has Zack Snyder attached to it. And if anybody knows, I don't like Zack Snyder. The only thing I really like from him is goddamn Watchmen, and that's questionable likely from him, because I rewatched that movie the other day, and I was like, man, he could have cut a lot of these fucking scenes out of here, and the music choices in here were pretty fucking bad as well. I was like, and this guy, seriously, we said in Dawn of the Dead, he seriously does not know how to write women.
Nope.
So, I don't know how I feel about him going for Wonder Woman and all that shit. I'm just like, I don't know, I don't, really don't. And the thing is, saying, oh, DC's finally taking risks now. They're making a Wonder Woman movie. I was like, how's that taking a risk? That bitch is a lead character in the fucking DC universe. She's up there with Batman and Superman or whatever. That's not a risk. A risk is if they put some unknown female character in there.
Or, yeah.
Wonder Woman ain't no risk. Ain't no risk. That movie should have been made years ago. Come on, that ain't no risk.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just hope DC gets their shit together. Batman vs. Superman is the first start of it, so...
Well, if they fail on that, we know they haven't got their shit together.
Yeah, if that movie fails, then I don't give a shit no more. It's like, look, I got Marvel, they're doing their thing.
Well, it's not going to fail box office, but...
No.
But, like, in your eyes.
And Layton said it would.
I think it would.
No, you're talking about financially.
No.
He said if enough people don't like it, they won't go see it. I'm just like, are you, I don't know. I don't agree with that. But
the only one that the people around will like will be the diehards that, like, Affleck is Batman, so.
People are going to see that movie regardless of what the fucking negative feedback on it, whatever. That's one of those movies that's licensed to print money. And the fact that it's coming out, what is it, March or April?
Same day as fucking Captain America 3.
No, it got pushed up, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were like, I think, yeah, I remember that.
They moved it to March or some shit like that, so they are playing it super safe to release that in March, because March, to release that in March, that movie's going to have March and April.
They should have just released it in January. You would have had January, February, and March.
Yeah, and probably April, too, for that matter. You're right.
Because when the news broke that Robert Downey Jr. is coming to Captain America 3... DC is probably like, thank God. We would have lost by like 100 million.
I'm so interested to see that too, because I'm interested to see these different ideologies clash, whatever. I mean, you kind of get a sense of it already starting off, But I think Avengers 2 is what's really going to push that, because we saw it in Captain America Winter Soldier with Captain America not really liking S.H.I.E.L.D.'s methods and shit. And Avengers 2 is going to be the thing that pushes Captain America. It's like, Tony, you created this fucking robot because you wanted peace or whatever instead of... So I can see where this storyline is going off because it feels in the books that, like, look, I'm tired of this. I'm going to get my own team because I'm going to watch the world myself and I don't need you, whatever. And clearly a lot of people are saying, oh, Black Widow's going to join him. But I'm like, no, Black Widow is loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm assuming she's going to be on Tony's side as well.
Yeah, Cap. Yeah, and I would not be upset with Tony if there's another Iron Man movie that if the Tony Stark just joins in with these other movies like Thor or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and they're saying that Thanos is what's gonna bring the team all back together and shit to stop this. I'm just like, oh my god, this sounds like just one big comic book on the screen, and I'm excited to see that. So
yeah.
Excited to see that. But Teresa, she says, being both directors in your own rights and having projects come out in the nearby future, how do you guys find the time to run websites?
Obviously, I haven't seen FanCritic. I haven't done anything for it for a while.
Yeah, I was about to say, you haven't done anything for a while.
Maybe. It's just because, you know, movie, that I'm going to probably start doing stuff with it now since I'm done with the movie.
You could promote the movie on there.
I have. Well, yeah, I got a review for it, but
create some banners or something like that, you know.
I wish I knew how to do that, but
oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, FanCritic's not dead, so I still just with the movie, it took a lot of my time. That's why I haven't seen a lot of movies this summer because I was filming.
How do you find the time? You just make time. That's all.
Yeah, you do. But when you're filming Fridays and Saturdays, you don't want to do anything on Sunday.
Shit, I do everything every day.
You do. You're home 8 hours, and that's your sleeping. Well, you don't sleep 8 hours.
I sleep about 4 hours. That's enough.
Yeah.
Like last night, I don't know what time I went to bed, updating shit or whatever, and then the site went under abatement to clean up and shit like that. So
it always does that.
Yeah, I went to bed like 3 o'clock maybe.
Woke up at 4. Or like 7 a.m., watch the sunrise.
I went to room 9-ish, went for a run, came back, showered, you know, ate some breakfast. And then, you know, back into podcasting routine, you know. It's not necessarily like, you know, you have to do it. It's more if you want to do it. It's more of just dedication into doing it. And I realized that a lot of people come to the site and stuff like that. To listen to content and stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, especially lately, there's been a lot of goddamn content going up, mainly a lot of movies as well, and something up every damn day now.
You have, like, 5 shows.
Yeah, I know. There's, like, 2 recaps, Throwback Tuesday, Moose World of Darkness, and, like, the past couple of weeks has been, like, 3-4 reviews now, too, as well, so...
And you do, Wayne and Luke's shows sometimes, too.
Yeah, and that one is simple because we usually record that on a Saturday, and I'm usually at home working on something, so I can do both Kill 2 Birds with One Stone as well when they ask me to do this. So it's like, oh, I can kind of like, you know, reprise my, I guess like it's not, because a lot of people have been asking me when I'm going to come back to the darkness. I'm just like, I don't have time for the darkness right now because I'm usually doing that directing shit during the week, so... So I feel like, you know, filling in with Wayne and Luke, that kind of like somewhat replaces me on the darkness, if you will. But Throwback Tuesday, you know, numbers been going up on that as well. Movie Spoilers always been hitting it as well as it should be. Getting a lot more comments on there as well. The reviews, man, was something I would like to slow down on, but those are what's getting the most hits. So it's like, you know, can't really... Especially since it's Oscar season 2.
Yeah, you got 1 million in January. You want to try to get like another 1 million.
I think I'm already at 2 million. I keep forgetting to check.
So, yeah, and the podcast awards are coming up. I mean, you could win if you don't post for a year, but...
Yeah. How the fuck did he win? I've been baffled by that for the longest, man.
Well, it's coming. The next one's coming up soon.
Yeah, I've actually been looking forward to that. a little nervous, a little not, whatever, because, you know, last year got nominated. That kind of came out of nowhere. So the fact that if we can just get nominated again, I'd be like, oh, thank God. Because how can you get more views and not get nominated, right?
Yes, you're right.
That'd be kind of horrible. That'd actually be like, wow, did better last year than I did this year. But this year I'm looking to push it a little bit more. Last year, you know, I had Z's help, obviously, whatever, as far as telling people to fucking vote, so.
Yeah, and your co-host did not do anything.
Yeah, he didn't do a goddamn thing, which fucking made us look lazy and shit, right? We had to do all the fucking work, whatever. But this year, what I'm also proud to is, you know, Throwback Tuesday can be thrown in the hat as well, so.
And I think, when Darkness come out?
Around this year, last year. I mean, around this month, October of last year.
So yeah. That could be up.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, I almost loved all the podcasts and go up now, so.
Except the recap?
What would you consider that? Is there a TV cut? I guess film and TV are the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you know, hey. But, you know, Movie Spoils Throwback Tuesday and The Darkness all will be up there. I'm going to try to spread them out in different categories and see if we can, like, dominate each category.
Throwback Tuesday could be the sex topic.
Sex show. So, yeah, you know what? Throwback Tuesday Movie Spoilers, you know, we can put that both in the film category. The problem with that is I'll have is if I got two fucking nominees in there and we don't win, either one be pretty pissed off even more.
Or it's going to be weird if Throwback Tuesday, which is the secondary show, compared to your main show.
I'm saying this right now. If both those shows get nominated and neither one win, you thought I was mad last year, Z?
What if that same guy wins?
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty pissed off, Z, if that happens, man. If two shows get nominated in the same category and neither one win, I'm going to be pretty fucking pissed that year. You're not going to hear from me for a couple of weeks. I'm going to go fly to this guy's place, find him. I'm going to strangle him to death because I'll be pretty pissed.
I'm with you.
So, I'm looking forward to that. A little nervous, like I said, because, you know, getting nominated last year was a surprise, so it shouldn't be a surprise this year. But the thing is, if you don't get nominated, you're like, that hurts a little more. So,
nah, you got it nominated.
Like I said, I got Z backing me up on this one or whatever. Obviously, you know, Wayne, Luke, and Cody and CJ.
They got the Australian market covered, so don't worry.
The Australian market covered. I know, they're pretty big on this side. I don't know how, but they're pretty big.
And CJ's got his kids can vote for you.
Kids can vote for you, that's right, or whatever. Cody can have all the chicks he's done in the hallway for shit.
Or had the Man of Steel fan base.
Man of Steel fan base, that's right. They can go ahead and get on that. Z's got a whole production team. You know, we all got a crowd we can go to. So
yeah, we got this. We're gonna get this.
And we don't have Spill to compete with this year. So
yeah, they're not up. They can't be nominated.
Yeah, that's a plus.
Sorry, Martin.
Yeah, sorry, Bob. But yeah, we got I like our chances this year. We got a little bit more leverage this year now. You know.
Yeah, and the film sack or the fuck who won it. I don't think they posted anything.
Yeah, I looked them up the other day. I was just studying them.
How do you win this? You make one post a month.
Seriously, though. You make one fucking post a month, man. How do they get the fan base? Like, their comments aren't even that high. Like I don't know how long they've been up, but I'm assuming some years now, whatever, because they obviously have a fan base and stuff, but the comments on there are not even that high and shit. So I'm like, I don't even get this, but I'm excited about it, but
we'll see.
Just killing me. But Andrew, last question. He says, so what did you guys think of that fucking phenomenal, no pun intended, trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron?
Why isn't nobody commenting about Jack Frost? Not even one.
I'm assuming that on every episode this whole week is going to be nothing but Avenger trailer comments.
I think we said it before. It was
trailer comment. I mean, the Avenger trailer has hit records, right? The trailer hit records.
I think it hit the quickest, though, a million.
Yeah, it hit the most viewed trailer in a day. I think it held over a billion or something like that.
That's how you get pumped for a trailer or something like that.
Hmm? They didn't release no, it was no teaser or nothing. It was actual full-length trailer, and it showed you some stuff. So, yeah, that's cool.
So, we got what we wanted. We got the tease.
Yeah, so it wasn't just Batman staring at Superman with glowing eyes for a fucking 30 seconds.
And them hugging each other, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, this movie's called Batman vs. Superman. We already knew that they were going to stare at each other at one point. You know, can you show us some fucking movement or something? I mean, come on.
And, you know, they got the military firing their guns.
Yeah.
You got a beautiful, oh my God, she looked fucking, Elizabeth Olsen looked hot.
Seriously, yeah. Beautiful Elizabeth Olsen, yeah.
She didn't
look decent. You got the Hulkbuster suit, the Hulk freaking out and shit, looking like he's been experimenting with by Elizabeth Olsen. You see Ultron with the twins at one point, like they were working together.
Yeah, and Andrew Taylor and fucking Aaron Taylor.
Aaron Taylor.
And Elizabeth Olsen did more stuff in this trailer than they did in the whole movie Godzilla.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You listen to that speech Tony Stark gives about he doesn't want to go back. It's almost like he's like, look, I gave up being Iron Man. So it's like almost this kind of forced him back into it. So, yeah, there's a lot of things in there that's going on. James Spader's voice work looked great. Man, they are being real secretive about the Vision. I want to see some Vision.
I don't think we're going to see that.
Man, I can't wait for to see that. We saw Andy Serkis, too, who looked like a Black Panther villain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember I saw him, yeah.
He looked like, they call him the Claw, and he's one of the Black Panther's villains that, like, tries to keep constantly stealing his vibranium from his land, shit like that. So there's a lot of little things in there, too. I was like, man, he got the beard and everything. I was like, is that who Andy Serkis going to be playing? Oh, and Andy Serkis was working with Mark Ruffalo to make his expressions better for the mocap for the Hulk.
And Andy Serkis is a fucking god come motion capture like that.
Mm-hmm. He's the fucking king of mocap.
So, yeah, Avengers is going to be fucking sweet.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. So, yeah, this trailer, man, was fucking phenomenal. Like you just said, Andrew, no pun intended indeed. It's got me pumped. I can't wait to see the more footage this Tuesday or whatever. And I think coming up sometime soon, too, ABC is showing the Marvel 75 years of Marvel or something like that, where they're going to go behind the scenes and some shit like that. So I'm looking forward to watching that as well.
Marvel's just teasing us. It's like the tip is, like, penetrating us, and they're just teasing us with it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you might as well call May the month of Marvel now, so.
Just change it in the calendar.
Yeah, just change it in the calendar. You don't have to do that right now. Marvel month.
They should release a movie every fucking week in May.
Yeah. Well, they got the TV show, so, hey, that's coming out in May, too, so.
Yeah, Peggy Carter. Daredevil, Agents.
The Shield's gonna come back as well around that time. Should be too.
This Insidious, Ouija, Battleship, Transformers, GI Joe movie. Marvel's gonna make it.
When is it gonna be Marvel versus Hasbro? That's what I want to see.
I would love to see fucking Iron Man and The Rock go at it.
Oh yeah, Iron Man. Well, The Rock would be like, I'm Black Shazam.
Well, wait a second. Yeah, I was gonna say like The Rock just signed him with the Marvel, didn't he?
No, he signed with DC.
Oh, that's right. Damn it.
He's playing the villain in the Shazam movie.
That's cool.
I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, because that villain, how long is he going to be on screen for? It's like, why would you get The Rock for that? I don't know.
Nah, DC doesn't make great character choices. Casting choices.
I'm sure he's going to bring some life to that movie, so I can't wait for that. So I'm looking forward to Shazam more than anything, just because it has The Rock attached to it. So, but people, that is another edition. That is Throwback Tuesday, episode 71. I'm the
72.
Oh, 72, that's right. 71 was Jack Frost. 72, I'm the Phenomenal One, MovieSportsPodcast.com.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
And you will hear our lovely voices this Friday for our Halloween special. Have a spooky and fantastic Halloween.
Yep, and just watch all the movies on AMC.
Yeah, exactly. Later, Beth.
Later.
Tiptoe through the window, out the window, that the door will become tiptoe through the tulips with me. garden, by the garden of a willow tree and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Showers away, and if I kiss you in the garden, in the moonlight, will you pardon me and tiptoe through the tulips with me? Through the tulips with me.